We're turning this evening in our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of beginnings, Genesis, and the chapter 39. And certainly we encourage you even to open your Bible and to read along with us this evening. The book of Genesis, the chapter 39, and we're reading from the beginning of the chapter. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Then we read in the verse 20 of the chapter, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Amen. We know that God will bless this reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Let's just bow together briefly again in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for thy precious word. We thank thee especially for the words which we have read this evening. We ask, Lord, that as we consider them, that thou wouldst give us help and give us understanding. We pray, Lord, that we might be enabled to learn even from thy servant of a bygone age. We thank thee that these things have been recorded for our learning. And so we pray, Spirit of the living God, that thou wouldst come and that thou wouldst teach us this evening. Teach us, Lord, how to serve thee. Help us, Lord, to glorify thee. And so we ask, take away every distracting thought, close us in with thyself. And Lord, not only help us to hear, but we pray that thou wouldst give to us even submissive hearts, that we might be willing to do whatsoever thou wouldest command us. To that end, be thou our help, and help us in our words to glorify thee. For in the Savior's name we pray, amen. Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter 39, I want to draw your attention this evening to Joseph. We'll read again just two verses, Genesis chapter 39, and we're told there in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he might do to prosper in his hand. One of the most remarkable characters in the pages of the Old Testament is Joseph. His life is one of striking contrasts. No sooner was he exalted above his brethren than we find him being pulled down into the depths of servitude and humility. Being betrayed by his own brethren, they stripped him of his princely robe of many colors, placing upon him the garb of a slave. They then sold him into the hands of the Ishmaelites, transporting him across the burning sands of the desert. They finally brought him into the rich and fertile surroundings of the Nile. bypassing the pyramids, they sold him into the hands of Potiphar. Potiphar was the head of Pharaoh's police, and bringing him into his home and placing him upon him the burden of servitude. Joseph, although wronged in so many ways, yet he showed no resentment. Rather than rebelling against his circumstances, he absorbing the initial shock, he quickly adapted. Knowing that God was in control and accepting his will, he then began to serve Potiphar. And more than that, he began to serve him with great diligence and with great energy. You see, like Joseph, rather than rebelling against our circumstances, we must resign to our circumstances, knowing that it is the will of God. We should embrace them. In fact, the Apostle Paul, writing unto the Philippians, he said in Philippians chapter 4 in the verse 11, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Whether free or in bonds, he knowing that God was in control, he was content. And while we must never be content with what we are, we should be content with where we are and with what we have. God has brought you into that place for a particular reason. I remember once seeing a cartoon showing two fields divided by a fence. Both fields were about the same size, and they were both very prosperous fields. The grass was green and the grass was lush. And in each field there was a mule, and the cartoon portrayed each of the mules with their head through the wire fence, each eating the other mule's grass. And at the bottom there was a one-word caption, and it simply read, "Discontent." And maybe you're not where you want to be, and you don't have what you want to have. Maybe you didn't get that promotion that you were hoping to get. Maybe things haven't been turning out the way you planned them. But remember, God is in control. Remember that God has brought you into that place for some reason, for a service that he wants you to perform. Someone has rightly said, "He who is not willing to serve God in prison is not fit to serve God in the palace." And if you are walking with God, then God has brought you into that place for a reason. Your circumstances may not be pleasant. Your circumstances may not be that which you would desire. But rather than fighting against it, my submit, as Joseph submitted to his surroundings, my submit, recognize that God has you there. He has you there for some purpose. He has a service for you there to perform for him. And so I want this evening for a short time to consider Joseph as we see him here in the workplace. You notice, firstly, the presence he enjoyed. Coming down into the land of Egypt without money or friends, he was brought into a completely new world, surrounded by a people and a language that he did not know. We find the Lord then drawing near to him. But I want you to notice here that his presence, that is the Lord's presence, was permanent. While Joseph was separated from his father, we read in verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Envy rising in the hearts of his brethren, they had taken him and they had cast him into a pit. Conspiring against him, they then sold him into slavery. However, while they were able to strip him of his princely robes and able to separate him from his earthly father, yet we are told here that the Lord went with him. Working behind the scenes, he bringing him into the house of Potiphar, he greatly prospered him. Later, facing more temptation, we read again the words, "The Lord was with Joseph." And whether he was in slavery, or he was prospering, or he was in the midst of temptation, we find that the Lord,
The Lord was with him. And praise God this evening, the Lord never leaves nor forsakes his people. As well as encouraging them, he encamps around them. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, being arrested, he was transported to the city of Rome. And while the Roman believers at first ran out to meet him, yet then beginning to fear for their own safety, we find them one by one deserting him. Finally, everyone having forsaken him, Paul taking up his pen, he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And when all others fled, leaving him, the Lord remained with him." You see, in life, when you are all alone, you are never really alone. The Lord is standing there somewhere in the shadows. You know, during the great Arian controversy within the Presbyterian Church in the 19th century, Dr. Henry Cook confronted the enemies of truth, standing to his feet in the General Synod, which was held in Newry. He stood almost alone, opening his mouth and beginning to defend the great truths of the gospel. The thunder began to roar. At one stage, his voice could hardly be heard. Yet rather than giving up, he said, "I seem this day to stand alone. Yet I am not alone. Men may draw back in fear, but God and truth are with me." And believer, in those moments when you feel that you are forsaken, you feel that you are all alone, remember the Lord is there. Maybe you say tonight, "Preacher, it's easy for you to say that. You don't have to go to work where I work. You don't have to listen to the things that I have to listen to all day. In fact, I am the only Christian in my workplace." Now, you might be the only Christian, but you're not alone. My, the Lord is there. The Lord is there, standing somewhere in the shadows. You see, no matter who deserts you, the Lord will never desert you. No matter how hot the furnace may become, the Lord will be there. And here was Joseph, and he was going through difficult times, but we're told again and again the Lord was with him. And believer, when the clouds begin to darken, and when you feel full of self-pity, and you feel that God has forgotten you, remember, look up. He is there. He is there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You see, his presence was permanent. More than that, we notice that his presence was perceived. Coming into the house of Potiphar, we read in verse 3, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." Coming into the land of Egypt, Joseph had refused to cast away his faith. Knowing that God was with him, he kept himself separate from false religion, refusing to bow down before their gods. He then began to serve Potiphar. And gazing upon him, my, Potiphar not only beheld Joseph's industry, but he beheld a strange, overwhelming presence with him. In all that Joseph said and all that Joseph did, he saw something of the majesty and the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the presence of the Lord in our lives is not invisible, but visible. He will be seen in our words and even in our works. Indeed, Moses going up into the mountain, we find him there communing with the Lord, spending time in his presence. We then read in Exodus 34, verse 29, "When he came down from the mount, that Moses wished not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." And although Moses was not aware of it, his face shone. The people looking upon him, they knew They knew that he had been in the presence of the Lord. You see, the presence of the Lord in the life cannot be disguised, nor can it be hidden. While our faces may not shine, nevertheless, he will be seen in our words. And more than that, he'll be seen in our walk. You lie all day in the sun, and you'll not have to tell people where you have been. The sun will change the color in the pigment in your skin, and by just looking at you, people will know. They will know that you were spending time lying in the sun. And when you are dwelling with the Lord, now you will not be S-U-N burned, but you will be S-O-N burned. His presence will be seen in your life. It will be seen even in your walk. Sometimes people mistake in thinking that the only way that you can witness is by using your words. But Christ should also be seen in our work. Christ should also be seen in our walk. And I wonder, child of God, as the world gazes in today upon your life, my like Potiphar, do they have to say the Lord is with them? Do they see the Lord with you? Do they see his presence? Do they see his power? Do they see his grace in your life? Not only was his presence perceived, but his presence surely was puzzling. Coming into Egypt, we read in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Although the Lord was with him, he was still brought down into the land of Egypt. There, being sold into the hands of Potiphar, he was separated from his loved ones, being forced to work night and day. He was eventually tempted to sin, and refusing to yield, he was then slandered and misrepresented, and he was then taken, and he was cast into prison, and he was forgotten by his so-called friends. You see, the presence of the Lord does not screen us from all that is seemingly bad. You will still have trials and troubles. Indeed, leaving his disciples, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And though the Lord kept his word and he was with them, yet Peter was cast into prison. James was beheaded. Stephen was stoned to death. Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, and eventually executed. You see, while the presence of the Lord shields us from all that harms, it does not shield us from all hardship. In fact, if you're walking with God, if you're not coming from trouble, you are probably heading towards trouble. You know, a preacher one time returning from a trip, a member of the congregation went to meet him from the train. And the preacher, being curious, he asked the member of the congregation, well, when I was away, how did things go? And the man looked up. He said, well, when you were gone, a cyclone came through the town and tore down my house. The preacher, rather condescendingly, looked at the man and he said, well, if I'm honest, I'm not really that surprised. That's God punishing you for the way that you have been living. And the member of the congregation looked up and said, well, preacher, it also blew your house down as well. You see, even when you're living for God, seemingly bad things will happen. Why does the blacksmith light the fire in the furnace? It is because he intends bringing something good out of it. And because things seem to be going wrong and the fire of persecution and trouble are burning bright, it doesn't mean the Lord has forgotten you. It just means that he is going to bring something good out of that situation. You see, although the Lord is with you and will be with you, you will still have trials. And in our trials, we need to lift our eyes and we need to look for the Lord. Look for Christ when you're in your trials. Look to see him. But I think not only do we notice here the presence he enjoyed, but surely we notice also the prestige he enjoyed. While Egypt managed to rob him of his position, it was unable to rob him of his reputation. Although he was a slave, we find here that Joseph was a goodly person. His goodness was seen in many different ways. I think it was seen in his submission. Look at verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, that is Potiphar's sight, and he served him. Of all men, Joseph had been most unjustly treated, being snatched without permission from his father's love. He had been brought down into the house of one who served false gods. And yet, rather than striking or seeking to escape or protesting, he immediately submitted, placing himself under Potiphar's hand. He carried out his every command, his every wish, as long as they did not contradict the word of God. You see, Joseph here, in the workplace, we find him submitting to Potiphar. And you see, we are to be submissive, not only in our spiritual lives, but also in our secular lives. We are to obey our earthly masters. The Apostle Paul, taking up this very subject and writing unto the Colossians, he said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." The word obey there is also used again in verse 20 in connection with children. And as parents have a right to expect obedience from their children, so the Apostle Paul here was saying that earthly masters have a right to expect obedience from their servants. You see, as well as rights, we have responsibilities. We are to be subject to our employers. What does that mean? Well, it means if you start at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, you don't come in at 8:15. You don't even come in at 8:10 or even at 8:04. You should be there in time to start your work. It means that if he tells you to do something and it's not in your contract, you don't object and rebel, but you gladly, willingly do that thing, as long as it's not contrary to the word of God. You say, "Preacher, but what? What if my boss treats me unjustly?" Who was more unjustly treated than Joseph? Who was more unjustly treated than David? Saul insulted and sought to kill him. And yet when David had the opportunity to take revenge, he, instead of slaying Saul, we find him bowing down before his authority. Maybe you feel in your workplace that you have not been treated properly. Maybe you feel that you have been passed over. Perhaps you feel that your boss, because you're a Christian, has pushed you, as it were, aside. What should you do? Obey. Obey. You see, here was Joseph, and although his boss was an ungodly man, yet Joseph obeyed him. And as a Christian, yes, your earthly employer may not be a believer, but nevertheless, you are to obey him, as long as he doesn't ask you to do that which is contrary to the word of God. In everything else, you are to be submissive. Not only was his goodliness seen in his submission, it was also seen in his service. Look at verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Coming down into the land of Egypt, he had been stripped not only of his princely robe, but also of his station. being sold into slavery, he was now forced to do the most menial of tasks. And although there was no payment, yet he began to do this work with a will. And such was Joseph's energy in the workplace that he immediately caught Potiphar's eye. You see, he sought to be the best servant. He sought to be the best slave that he possibly could. And you see, rather than being slackers in the workplace, we are to be servers, working to the very utmost of our ability. Again, the Apostle Paul, taking up this subject, he said in Ephesians chapter 6, in the verses 6 and 7, "Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." They were to serve cheerfully with all of their ability and with all of their heart. They were to do that service not as unto their earthly boss, but as unto the Lord. You see, we are to be workers rather than dreamers, serving our earthly master as we would serve our heavenly master. Over 200 years ago, the editor of the Times paper was greatly embarrassed by the number of typographical mistakes made in the paper. They tried everything to try and correct the problem, but every effort failed. Finally, the editor called in all of his staff, and he said, "Tomorrow's paper will be printed, and when it's printed, the first copy will be taken, delivered to the palace, given into the hands of the king." And the employees, realizing that the king was going to be reading the paper, the number of mistakes were greatly, greatly reduced. And we should do everything that we do in life as unto the King of Kings. A recent survey indicates that the average person only puts 25% of their effort into their work. If God has called you to be a cook, then you should seek to be the best possible cook that you could ever be. If God has called you to be a farmer, then you should seek to raise the best cattle or sheep that you possibly can. You see, we may be serving an ungodly master, but we are to serve him with all of our hearts, because in reality, we're not really doing it for him, but we should be doing it as unto the Lord. Here was Joseph, and Potiphar had bought him, taken him from his home, but he served him. He served him. Also notice his goodliness is seen in his standing. Look at verse 6. "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat." You notice here that Potiphar not only called Joseph to serve, but he trusted him. In other words, Joseph here was an honest and trustworthy man. And as well as being upright in our worship, we are to be upright in our work. We are to be those in the workplace who are trusted. I remember reading of a man, he was going for a very important job. In fact, he was going to be interviewed for vice president of a big company. And when he arrived there was a number of interviews going on, and he had to wait. He decided, rather than sitting outside the door, he would go into the cafeteria and he would get something to eat. And he went into the cafeteria, he took his tray, and he reached for some rolls, and then he took the butter. And as he came near the cashier's desk, he took the roll and he placed it over the butter so that the cashier wouldn't see the butter. Seemed a small thing. But what he didn't know was that the man who was interviewing him was standing behind him. And when he finished his meal, he received word, "Don't even bother coming for the interview." Spurgeon said, "If faith does not make us honest, then it is not an honest faith. And as Joseph here was trustworthy, we should be honest, we should be upright, we should be known in the workplace as those who are industrious, those who can be trusted. We're not to be like the person who serves hard and energetically while the boss is watching. But once the boss goes out the door, we sit down and we put up our feet. We're to be those who are industrious, those whom he can trust. Oh, believer, are you living for Christ in the workplace? Is Christ seen even in the way you serve, the way you carry out your daily work? But not only do we notice the presence and the prestige he enjoyed, but I think lastly we notice here the prosperity he enjoyed. Blessing Joseph, notice here that the Lord prospered his employment. Look at verse 5. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. Slaves in Egypt normally had little or no standing. They were often given the most menial tasks. However, Joseph, carrying out these tasks to the best of his ability, Potiphar now promoted him, making him an overseer. He gave to him even far, far greater responsibility. And I say to you, child of God, do not despise the day of small things. When you are faithful in little things, God will then give you greater things to do. You remember the parable of the talents and how that the servant proving faithful in the matter of the talents, his master then made him a ruler over many things. And that task that God has given to you may seem menial, may seem small, may seem insignificant. However, if you're faithful in that small thing, God will give you greater things to do. Sometimes people wonder, what's the best way in work to get promotion? To be the best servant that you can. And if you serve that earthly master as you would serve the Lord, and if you do it energetically, if you do it faithfully, then the Lord will promote you. The Lord will give you greater opportunities. He will give you greater fields of service. He not only prospered his employment, but he prospered his efforts. Look at verse 3. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Walking with the Lord in purity, the Lord prospered all that he touched. His labors, no matter what they were successful. You see, when we look after the business that God has given us to do, the Lord will look after our business. He will prosper whatsoever we do. The psalmist refusing to sit, to walk, or to stand with the ungodly. He didn't lose heart. But we're told in that opening psalm that whatsoever he did, God prospered. Purity always brings prosperity. And if only you serve the Lord, my the Lord will prosper. He'll prosper your soul, but he'll prosper you also in the place of work. He'll give success even in your service. He also prospered his employer because look at verse 5. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Through Joseph's faithfulness, not only was Joseph blessed, but Potiphar and his whole house was also blessed. And you see, when we walk with the Lord, we will not only be blessed, but we will become a blessing. Others will be blessed through us. Maybe you're listening this evening and you say, preacher, my boss is an ungodly man, and he may have no time for the Word of God. But you know, if we walk with God and we serve God in the workplace the way we ought, he may not particularly like us. But he'll want you there because it will bring the blessing of God, bring the blessing of God even upon his business. Oh, you see, not only is our cup to be full, but if we're walking with God, it will flow over and others will be blessed. And I wonder today, do those in your workplace thank God that you're there because you bring the blessing of God. Here was Joseph and he was snatched away. He could have rebelled and said, Lord, why? Why have you brought me this way? Why have you allowed me to be snatched away, brought into this land, forced to serve this ungodly man? But he recognized God was in control. And knowing that God was in control, he didn't rebel, but he submitted. And he sought in the circumstances that God brought him into to be the best servant that he possibly could and to be a witness. God has brought you where you are. God has brought you into that place, if you're walking with him, of employment, that you might be a witness. Oh, I trust that as Joseph here was a witness in the house of Potiphar, as everyone could see God was with him, I trust you're a witness in your place of employment and that people can see the Lord even in your life. May God help us to serve him in all places and to glorify his great name.